going on, and welcome back to the A Show with the Kings of Pro Wrestling Podcasts. I am Justin, here with Meals. How are you doing, Meals?
I don't know if you can hear this, but there's an ice cream truck in the background of me.
That sounded like Sweet Tooth from Twisted Metal had appeared in your neighborhood. I was scared. I was like, wait, what?
That is the sound of warm weather in New York City. Jeez. That is the sound of it.
I was on the East Coast over the weekend.
I love when you're on the East Coast, by the way.
Why?
I love when you're on the East Coast because we're on the same timing.
Yeah. I was there. You know, I was on the East Coast, and why was it hotter on the East Coast than it was on the West? It was cold, bruh.
Global warming, baby. I don't know. It's a warm front. I don't know what to say. It's been pretty good these last couple days. Like, it's been, this is like the weather that I crave for when I talk about warm weather. Not like the overly hot shit that we get like in July and August where my light bill is like $400 and shit. This shit, you know, this is what I crave for. This is what I love, man. It's great. But now you're back on the West Coast. Yes.
Yes. I had a very good, it was good to go home and reset, you know?
Ooh, okay.
Good to go home and reset.
Did anyone call you Hollywood while you were out there?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, close enough.
That would have happened like years ago. That would have happened. Nah, I've been here long enough where I'm just not Hollywood anymore. So. Yeah.
Okay. Love that for you, bro. Love that for you, man. It's been, go ahead.
What I have noticed is gentrification is real. Like everywhere.
Ooh, okay.
Everywhere. Like it's, gentrification is frighteningly real everywhere. And I don't like it.
What made it abundantly clear to you when you went back home?
the housing, and I live, I'm from like 757 area. I'm from Norfolk, Virginia. Also close to like pretty much like Virginia Beach is like right next door.
Right.
The amount of new properties that have just popped up just in random places. Like, why is there like an apartment complex on the side of a highway? like what are we doing here? You know what I'm saying? Like, it makes no sense why these decisions are being made, but they're being made. And I was like, I don't recognize my hometown anymore. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the crazy part to me is that I just don't recognize it.
Nah, it's the same thing over here. Like, I live a mile away from where I grew up. I mean, technically, I kind of grew up here. I've been pretty much here in this neighborhood since I was like 11 years old. So I was actually probably here longer than I was over there. But from still by my dad still lives over there. And every time I go over there, it's just like, again, they'll take like a normal house and then make like a 3-story apartment complex, and it'll be taller than every other building on the block. And it's just, then there'll be like new, like the thing here is like brunch spots, right? Like,
yeah.
So on every corner, and it's so crazy because it's like, this is a busy street called Nostrand Avenue in New York, in Brooklyn.
I know Nostrand. Cameron's talked about Nostrand Ave often.
It's a very beloved avenue. There never used to be as many restaurants on Nostrand Avenue as they are now. It used to be like, and I live in the area where it's a lot of West Indian concentration and stuff like that, and that has like pretty much flown fucking away for the most part. Mm-hmm. The only West Indian people who live there are the people who know that they're getting like rent controlled, rent stabilized apartments, and their rent is not going to go up. And if they even move, it's like risking your entire livelihood by moving, because then you're going to be paying $2,000 for a 1-bedroom apartment. And right now you're probably paying like $900, $1,000. But it's so much different shit out here, and it makes me uncomfortable. It makes me like when Jamal comes through, or when anyone comes through and I show them like my neighborhood, it makes me uncomfortable showing them, because I'm like, this is not how I used to live, by the way. Mm-hmm. Like, this is not it. Like, this, we didn't have this here. Like, we didn't have artisanal sandwich shops here at all. Like, it's not, this is not how I live. This was a real bodega at one point. Like, this was, it's just, I feel for you is what I'm pretty much saying. Like, yeah, I hate it.
There's a, and again, I'm all for upward mobility and or not upward motion rather. Mm-hmm. I just think that my issue with it is that the income, you know what I mean? Like the actual, right. the people in my hometown, they don't make enough to get like these apartments and into, you know what I mean? Like it's disturbing to me, honestly, to see all of that, because they're not putting jobs in that market. You know what I mean?
Like, it's the same thing here, to be honest with you. It's the same thing here. It's like for the most part, it's transplants coming in who are getting high paid jobs who are occupying these spaces. And it's really nothing. The affordable housing means nothing for the people who are actually like from here, living here kind of thing. Like there's no one, I feel bad. There's no one over 60 who could just get a new place to live. Like mm-hmm. you're stuck where you're fucking at. And then they're going to kick you out because they want to build new apartment things. Or they're like, we could essentially push you out. I have a whole rant about it. I don't want to go into it. But the gentrification is very... It's a sore subject for me, too. Because my neighborhood is completely, like, not what it was even just 10 years ago. We have a gym. The mere fact we have lived in this neighborhood forever. We, with our foods, with the oxtail rice and peas and all the other mac and cheese and all this other shit, we have needed a gym. And I didn't have a gym in this neighborhood until I turned 24.
Wow.
So everyone was just overweight. And like, we have mad food shops. I can go to two different sets of Domino's. I can find two sets of McDonald's. I can find all these other places, but we didn't get that till I turned 24. And 2014 is essentially when like the gentrification really started happening in New York City. I mean, it was a few years before that, but it's like, because these new people are moving in because they want to make the market kind of feel nicer and more affordable for these people. They're building out new things, and it's like, bro, we could have used a gym like 20 years ago.
Yeah.
It's like, again,
that's the disturbing part about it is really just like you're displacing a lot of these people. And I think that's why I kind of have pause about it. But that was probably the most disturbing thing that I saw. Other than that, I ate like trash all weekend. I ate soul food. For you. I ate all of that. I saw family. It felt great. I talked to my cousin who's trying to get me into One Piece, and he just won't stop. He won't stop.
I love that, man. Listen, do you know that? I want to ask you this question. So next week on The Lookout, we're doing it for our 6th anniversary of the show, which was actually like last month, but we had to thing it because we were doing Full Metal Alchemist. We're counting down the top 25 episodes of Dragon Ball Z. What do you feel like is like the top episode of Dragon Ball Z?
Oh man. Vegeta.
There's a couple candidates
to save the kids.
Yes.
That's probably my number one. When he chopped Trunks in the neck and he basically says like, "Yo, I love you." Dude, what did you feel about that storyline? I haven't watched super past the anime or read it or whatever, but I was talking to my cousin about it. Like, he was like, a lot of people were mad about the Vegeta's new power thing in the I guess the later chapters. That you didn't like that?
Sometimes they introduce stuff and it's really not to serve some sort of long form purpose. Kind of like this Vegeta blowing himself up thing. Okay. Like, it sometimes it's like one of those where it's like the thing about, rest in peace Akira Toriyama, by the way, but the thing about him is that if something wasn't really working, he would pivot. So the end goal of this was supposed to be Gohan saves the day, but the star of Dragon Ball Z and the most important person is Goku. So they essentially bring him back. That's why I'm like iffy on the Buu saga. But then I learned during the pandemic, during the Clubhouse era, when they were doing anime rooms too, that kids love the Buu saga. They love that shit. I was like, yo, dead ass. This shit is terrible. And it's long as fuck.
But that That one's up there. First Super Saiyan transformation's up there. What else?
Damn. Have you ever watched the episode where Goku learns how to drive?
That one's up there. Yeah, that one's definitely a classic. That was like a filler. That one wasn't actually in the manga, right? I heard.
No. It was absolutely a filler episode, and it's probably one of the best filler anime things that's ever existed. Like, it's
yeah. It's what all fillers hope to be.
You know right.
What I mean? it's what they all hope to be. So that one's up there. Trunks' introduction is definitely up there. That first episode that he gets introduced. Because that was like another watershed Toonami moment. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
That's up there. Yeah. I is that five? Is that four?
That's five. That's it. You have enough. You have more than enough for me to think about it for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Those are my shit. I fuck with all those.
Absolutely. Whew. Okay. What else do we have to talk about before we get into
my obsession with the challenge and how the last episode of Rivals, where they threw up for 15 minutes straight, was the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Well, get right. I mean, it's pretty much now a staple in the fucking show that you have to throw up for the entire fucking time they make you eat bullshit food. I love the challenge. All Stars 4 is out. All Stars 4 is apparently it's like. Everyone is saying this is like probably the best season in a long time. So I'm looking forward to continuously watching it. Yeah. It feels very original in a sense.
Yeah. Yeah. It's cracking, and it's got Flora, which I ain't know. I wasn't familiar with her game.
Flora through the Ayata shit, she was like, bro, what the fuck are you talking about? I love her. I was like 52. Man, she's cool as hell. I wish she could be my mom. Hold up. I love my mom. 25. Don't get me wrong, but she's cool.
25, you feel me? I can't
tell. Oh, my God. Oh, wait. Have you started? Did you watch any of the that WWE reality show that's on Roku?
No, I can't find it. I don't know where to watch it.
Yeah, me neither. I was thinking of trying to find it, but, you know, it is what it is. If you like All Stars and shit, I think they threw the entire first episode up on Paramount's YouTube.
Yes.
If you interested, I mean, you tune in. I mean, you can talk about
and
it with us.
Actually, watch it and let us know if you wanted to talk about Challenge All Stars, because I want to talk about Challenge All Stars. Because
I also want to talk about Challenge All Stars. So yes.
So yeah, we could just make that a Patreon segment. I don't know, but I want to talk about it. So we'll see. Want to get into the news this week? Actually, some stuff happened.
Yeah, not a lot. I mean, we end up to me. Can I, if I would just like to, you know, preview this? This episode of Raw was the most like WrestleMania's over, but we still got the draft coming up. We got some shit to figure out between then. You know what I'm saying?
Well, the thing with Raw this week, and we'll talk about it later. Why was the third hour so lit? I felt like there was like, let's just put the rest of the shit in the beginning. The third hour of Raw might have been the best third hour that they've ever had.
Well, they did a lot of good shit on the third hour. I don't know why. Yeah, I don't know why I waited so long for the show to heat up, to be honest with you.
Crowd was even hotter in the third hour. I was like, I felt like they were a little too quiet. But I think that there wasn't really much to, like, when you throw Sheamus at him, there's just not much to talk about.
We're gonna talk about that. We're gonna talk about him and his draws. Him wrestling in his draws this week. But the most notable news thing coming from Raw is that Rhea Ripley had to vacate the Women's World Championship on Raw. I'm gonna keep it a buck with you. Mm-hmm. And I know this cuts into our Raw review, but we'll do the full Raw review on Patreon. Make sure you get a good show for free. You get the full show for $5. Make sure you guys stay tuned for that. Am I wilding to say that this was like one of the most like weirdest I'm vacating the title segments that I've ever seen?
In what way?
I feel like it was just very like, she came to the ring. It wasn't like heartfelt. It wasn't like, I don't think she really had like anything she kind of really wanted to say that's important. It's just that I'm injured now. They're not letting me compete. I have to give up my title. And now Liv comes and laughs at her.
I think it's because she stayed in character. She largely stayed in character. So like there's something with Rhea where they find it very important that she stays within character the whole time. Mm-hmm. And I looked at that and I said, okay, well, I gather two things from that. One is that she's not going to be out that long. So there's no reason to drop her. There's no reason to have her crying and stuff if she's going to be out for less than a year. And two, mm-hmm. that they have already, which again, I have to credit the creative team in WWE now for what I feel as though they have a plan already of what's going to happen when she gets back. So there was no need to kind of give up the game like that already, in my opinion.
What are your thoughts on people who are saying, wait, why is she giving up the title? There are men out there who have been missing for months or who've been injured and have never had to give up their title. Yet Rhea Ripley, a woman, I don't know why I'm saying this mad, like condescending, I'm sorry, because it's kind of stupid. But a woman has to give up her title in the interim. How do you feel about that?
I was trying to find what men were injured while they had the title.
kept the title.
Can you tell me who?
No one that's had has any kind of significant surgery has kept the title, to be honest with you.
The most recent I could think of that I remember was Roman. I think someone brought up Seth, and I said, well, the Seth situation was something where they found that he didn't need to get surgery, so he didn't get surgery, and he just
go ahead.
And they rested him, and I was like, so that's not really a one-to-one comparison. And also, like, I'm gonna be real, people don't like it when I'm real. His involvement in WrestleMania hinged on his involvement, so they were probably a little more lenient to that at that point, right. Even if he needed to have surgery. I know that they probably said, I could do it after. Shoulder injury, I don't know, bud. Like, if the doctor tells her she can't lift people up for a riptide, then you're not getting Rhea Ripley being around with no title. This isn't. I just think that the false equivalencies, there are stronger ones. There are stronger arguments that you can have and stronger hills for you to die on than men do this, women do this. I think that I can't find Roman can't be your litmus test because that's his contract. You know what I'm saying?
There's a part of it that's also like Roman Reigns. Like,
yeah.
It's like people complaining about The Rock cussing, right? It's The Rock. Like, we give other people certain leeway because one, a lot of the business hinges on them, so they're able to get a little bit more freedom with the things that they do. Rhea Ripley, as great as she is, and mind you, people have been complaining that she hadn't been defending the title for months mm-hmm. prior to this. Mm-hmm. There's all types of graphics and infographics about like 62 days since Rhea Ripley has defended the championship. And then they had her defend it against, what's my girl's name? Ivy Nile. Great match, by the way.
Yeah.
It's not all the way like adding up, curling over for me with this complaint. I think ultimately at the end of the day, Rhea Ripley, I don't say that I think this is probably the worst time for it to happen. But also, a lot of these situations usually end up better for the person who's involved. I'm keeping a buck with you. Like,
yeah,
if anything, as history has shown, if anything, what history has shown is that when 2 years ago, Rhea Ripley gets injured, she has the heart situation. She was probably about to job to Bianca. And because she was out, she was able to eventually get into Judgment Day, which ends up leading to this reign right now. Seth Rollins getting injured, CM Punk getting injured, leads to Seth Rollins being in his first main event of WrestleMania ever.
Mm-hmm.
Cody Rhodes getting injured a couple years ago leads to him winning the Royal Rumble and main eventing. Like, it's all... usually these things work out for the people that they're supposed to work out for. And Rhea Ripley is one of those people it's going to work out for. It's not like Rhea Ripley is going to come back from injury and she's just going to have nothing to fucking do. You know?
I don't
like
get Liv. I just don't get how. I just don't get how it is a worthwhile conversation to have comparing Rhea to like Roman or other people who were clearly not injured, who have limited schedules, instead of like tackling another argument like why can't the women get like a mid-card intercontinental title in the main roster or something like that. Like, I just feel like there's like bigger arguments to have. Why can't there be better women's storylines away from the title? Like Rhea having to drop the title so she can get better is not a hill to die on. I just let her be off TV for a minute, bro. It's okay. You'll be fine.
And to be honest with you, it gives other women an out. It's next woman up, right? I mean, that's kind of what it is. Love Liv.
Hey, y'all love Liv. Y'all was mad as hell. What's up now?
You were definitely mad as hell. It was like, why is Liv not on Raw? It should be a triple threat match. It should be a fatal four way. It should be a six woman pack challenge.
Yeah, like she's about to be either a top heel or a top tweener. I thought that's another thing about Raw too this week. I was like, oh, the winds of change are very prevalent on this episode. Like everyone's about to switch up on this show.
We're definitely in the pre-draft settling period, which we've had multiple times before. That's why this show to me was just like, wow. It's more so Raw than SmackDown, but Raw was very like, we're transitioning. That's what a lot of it is. But what does this mean for the women's division? Where would you like to see the women's world championship kind of go with Rhea Ripley longer holding it?
One thing that you mentioned, that's the best time for this to happen because there's a draft coming. So it could literally be anybody that you could grab from any show. I would love to see either Liv or Bianca come through in like some type of tournament, some type of, you know, six pack challenge type situation to get her back on Raw.
I was gonna say EO. I was low key. I was like, maybe EO. But no, I think the best part about it is, like we've said, like the best part of it is it could be anybody.
Yeah. Naya had a good promo. Did you see Naya got baptized over the weekend?
I did. Look at her.
She getting with God.
Oh, the whole shit started sizzling.
it was the COVID in her.
No vaccine, baby. It was all no, but shout out to her. But yeah, this was a crazy start to Raw. Especially it's a notable thing for the women. I look forward to see what they kind of do with the Women's World Championship. And kind of where everything ends up. Because they got a lot of contenders, they got a lot of great women, they got a lot of potential stars, and to be honest with you, I see this benefiting Liv a lot, considering how her Raw kind of went.
Yeah, yep. And again, she's already setting the table, and we'll talk more about that on show reviews.
Absolutely.
What else happened? Oh yeah, we got to talk about this. I forgot we had to talk about this. It almost feels like this happened 6 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago. It almost felt like it didn't happen because it was just a blip after it happened. So AEW aired the All In 2022 footage from Wembley under the guise that it was completely to be kind of like revealed as part of a storyline. So as we all talked about last week, CM Punk went on Ariel Helwani, and we talked about this interview at length, talked about all of the stuff that had to do with the incidents and the things that occurred while he was in AEW, which of course spurned AEW during WrestleMania, like night one, I believe, to say that they were going to show the footage off. Well, they did, and it wasn't a joke, And we waited on bated breath on last Wednesday night's Dynamite to see what this footage looked like. And it pretty much looked like everything CM Punk described. It was a grainy, fuzzy, VCR looking footage from the cameras there. No sound, of course, of CM Punk confronting Jack Perry, mushing him in the face, putting him in a chokehold, getting out, looking like he pretty much did and said on the aerial show, saying, you know, I quit and all this stuff. Like, you could tell that he went over to someone off camera. You could kind of see Tony's hands moving, and then he gets carried off.
You see him cowering over in the fucking corner. That's what you could see.
And then Chris Hero being like, fuck. And then the ending. Meals, your initial reactions to this footage, because I'll be honest, I was watching live on Wednesday, and I was like, Punk looks like the man. He looks like the fucking G with all of this. And, I mean, granted, and again, that doesn't mean that we think that, or I think that he shouldn't have been fired for this, but he definitely, if I was in attendance, I would have been like, that nigga getting fired, but that was hard. Like,
there's multiple thoughts I have about this. One, Jack Perry, if he's not fired, he should never show his face ever again. Because, man, what? You thought. I mean, it is what it is. Two, the context and way this footage was introduced into the show might have been one of the laziest attempts at writing. And one, they're trying to like prey on the fact of like the insider fans, but also keep it to the story on kind of like this macro level. But even on an insider scale, it doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. Because the Young Bucks, who are EVPs, were told they cannot do anything related to CM Punk. They can't talk to him. They can't it's not like, I won't say not reprimand him, but like their business is clearly like they're compromised because of everything that happened at Brawl Out 3 years prior. So it's like for them to like come up with the storyline standpoint of like, we were too busy to focus on our upcoming match with FTR because we had to worry about this kind of thing. And coming in with a footage that didn't include the Young Bucks at all, didn't include FTR at all, so didn't include anyone.
Their reasoning was flimsy from the jump, making it a storyline. And having the Bucks cut, what was it, like a 4-minute promo before they even play it? I was like this is like a pure, like, it's a joke.
I appreciated the attempt at it. That's the only thing I appreciated of like trying to make it make sense. My thing is, it didn't make sense the way you presented it at all. So that was a lot of my like disdain for that segment, because I was just like, you have nothing to do with this. Again, you're making about this. You're the least interesting part of this entire thing once again.
But you're trying to the stars of it, and it also like not only trying to make themselves stars of it, but also still sending shots. Like, these are the same people that did a victory lap when he left. You know what I'm saying? Like come on, bro. Like, it just reeked of, and again, we probably are not saying anything that people haven't already heard in the past week of people who reacted to this, but like, it makes your company look second rate. They look second rate. They look second fiddle, second everything. You know what I'm saying? Like, they just looked lesser of a company for doing all of this. And I they got their ratings boost for it. Good job. 819K, I believe. You got your boost. How are you going to follow up on that? Oh, you can't, because he's not in the company anymore and you're not going to make any money off of that. So what did it get you? Nothing. Like, it's a net negative for all of them. And I even the FTR stuff after was just like, you guys are like, for people who like really shit on people like Seth Rollins for like loving his job, these motherfuckers are some loving they job ass niggas. And I think it's hilarious that no one kind of looks at them as like the bit like bigger bootlickers than anyone who like says that they love working for any company, Impact, WWE, anything. Like these motherfuckers love they job, bro. They put up a what did Dax put up on Instagram story? Like, if you don't like what I do, you don't like my family or some shit like that. I'm like, bro, chill out.
Like, I don't give a damn. I'll be honest with you. I could care less about his damn family. I agree, especially with a lot of the bootlicking. I would have agreed with a lot of the, to me, this, again, it screams, it's such a detractor from the actual thing that's happening on the show. You had an opportunity to make this segment really, or make this program, or even make the characters of Young Bucks actually seem important and somewhat relevant, and they failed. They fail every week at it. It's tremendously bad how bad this company is at writing significant storylines. They may have one hot storyline every 4 years. I'm gonna keep it a buck. Not even every 4 months, like every 4 years. There's nothing that's really, they fumbled everything. The character development isn't there. I mean, people are always going to say like, oh my God, you're hating, you go for the matches and stuff like that. But they fumbled this thing so bad. And this is just the clear showing of how bad their decision making of a company actually is, that they would think that this is a good idea, that they would think that this was somehow going to benefit their company. And the fact that they would respond to the press that they got from the CM Punk thing, from the Ariel Hawani thing, when, to be honest with you, CM Punk is just relaying his experience there. It's the same thing with the Lufisto thing. Someone just relaying their experience. Someone asked them a question and they answered the question in full. And then having 40 people feel like they need the need to defend the sanctity of the company because they work for a nice guy who also loves wrestling. Boo! Y'all stink. This is so, I'm like, bro. And then the rest of the show is terrible. That's the first.
Like, this 2 weeks in a row, they try and like take attention away from that whole situation. And 2 weeks in a row, they put on like one of their worst shows. Like last week, I was like, this is legitimately like 2019 WWE level bad. Like bullshit. Like it's pretty bad shit, bro. Like, come on, man. Like the Edge Penta match, bro. Come on, son. They have a pay-per-view this week that we're gonna talk about. Bro. And I'm sorry. It ain't the Rockefeller Dynasty album. It ain't that. I'll tell you that much. It's some type of
Mercedes Moné. We're getting dangerously close to having a conversation.
No, we're not.
we're dangerously close to having a conversation about the value of Mercedes Moné in this company. Like, what? Why is she still talking? She's getting exposed currently for being a not great talker. Something that we've, you know, pointed out over the last number of years in WWE, because there are just times where it's just like, what are you talking about, girl? Like,
it's even worse now.
It's amazingly worse now.
You want to wait till May to have this conversation?
Give it to the end of the month. But there is the conversation now. The conversation is so crazy. People are now wondering, like, is she injured? Like, is she just like not? Did they get damaged goods? Is she still able to actually wrestle?
If she was injured, I think that it would be extremely funny if they were trying to tout this new signing as like healthy, and she wasn't.
Her segment on that Wednesday show to me is just as bad as a commentary segment. It's just as bad as that second week segment. It's just as bad as her randomly showing up to the stage and with the grind, doing Sable's grind, and talking. It's just a combination of bad creative mixed with more bad creative is what I'm going to say.
It's somebody's goat.
Shout out to Brybos. I'm sorry.
That's somebody's goat.
And that, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say about the footage. He ran up and got done up. No one looks better than this than CM Punk.
What's sadder to me is that like his merch sales went up and all that shit. And I'm like, man, if there ain't no more proof that we live in a wild world, is that you could get your ass whipped and your fucking merch be selling off the shelf. He getting cheers in Chicago. I said, go ahead on, man.
He got cheers at AEW, bro.
Yeah. World's most successful victim in a minute, bro.
We're the best wrestle. That's their tagline. They got 40 geniuses in the room and Calvin, and this is the best tagline that they could come up with.
And Calvin is crazy. All right, let's move on. Because you're disrespectful as hell.
I'm tired of it, bro. I'm more so like people try to defend a lot of this. And to me, there's a lot that's indefensible about. We're going to talk about it on this fucking Dynasty show. Who the fuck cares? All right, let's move on.
Did you see the clip of Tony Khan or the quote of Tony Khan saying that he would work with WWE under certain circumstances? Like,
I know he would ask for the world.
I hope not. Here's the thing. It'll never happen, but I love the fact that he's floating it. He specifically said it's an interesting thought. It would depend on the circumstance. I don't think there's any circumstance that they would want to take back a lot of the people that they let go to go to AEW, other than like Alistair.
I could see if there was a working relationship, I could see WWE essentially being like, hey, you know the guys that have worked here before? Can we use them for something? Maybe like a standing, a clip, something along those lines, but nothing that has like very big storyline implications or any major implications. I wouldn't know what AEW would fucking ask for. I'm gonna keep it a buck with you. I would not know what AEW would ask for from WWE.
Or vice versa.
Natty? Natty? I don't know.
It would be women. It would 100% be women. It would all be women.
Jason Jordan? I don't know. Like...
Molly Holly,
like an actual creative team. Like, what do they want? Like, it's the circumstances would be interesting, but again, like, I think they both know that in reality, them staying far apart is probably the best for both of their businesses at this standpoint. But the mere fact that he entertained it was hilarious to me. I think, WWE. Go ahead.
The only time I would accept it is when we get the scene from Daytona Beach where they said, I said a McMahon signed it.
I said a Khan signed the contract. But I didn't say which Khan.
Contract. Imagine Triple H's daughters voting AEW. Be hilarious. AEW... Actually, no, before we get to that, Jon Moxley, who is, I mean, he's been decidedly cooled down on AEW TV. Would you say that? You say that much, right?
He's very much so, like, very subdued, is what I would say, yes, for sure.
I don't know how you become a legacy act in a company that's only 5 years old, but he has managed to do it. And there's really not much of him to do. There's not much for him to do. So
I mean, there is, but they're not even close to using him out. He should probably be used, to be honest with you. There's always things for him to do. There's always stars for him to work with. And the mere fact is that he'd rather be tag team wrestling on Rampage than doing this.
Is that way he don't got to take pins?
It's his call. That's the worst part about it. It's really his call.
He won the New Japan, the IWGP, or heavyweight championship over the weekend, defeating Naito at Windy City Riot in Chicago. He had a quote before the show saying that he feels as though he's the most under. He still feels like he's the most disrespected and underrated wrestler in the world. And I'm like, I'm wondering what he's watching to say that, because I think that is like a vocal minority.
WrestleMania. WrestleMania.
Right? Like that's a very big vocal minority, at least on the internet, of people that think that. Like, people really love John Moxley. I don't think that he is, unless that he says that to motivate himself, then I don't see where that comes from.
I think it's generally the feeling of always being the third guy.
He made himself the third guy, by the way. Like, there was a time when Roman was just the third guy to a lot of people. There was a time when Seth was just the third guy to a lot of people. And I think there's no question.
It was Dean Ambrose who was the guy in the middle. He was the de facto leader of the Shield for the beginning of it.
And people, they looked at him as the new Stone Cold Steve Austin. I remember being like, all right, y'all pump your brakes. There's no one that's going to be able to do that. And, you know, I just think that him saying that is like, do you think it is the WrestleMania thing? Like, do you think he's looking at it and he's just like, fuck, man. Like, I think he doesn't care about shit like that.
I think he does, but people care about things in different ways. People will say they don't care about things, but it's generally something that still kind of affects them in a certain way. I think reality of the situation is the comments are generally like, he's a plumber. He can't wrestle. Like, there's still too much like gray area. He's not decidedly or like unanimously named as a great wrestler. He's still kind of like
wasn't it 1 year where he fucking beat Roman for Wrestler of the Year or some shit like that or something? Like, there was like a year where he was like getting accolades that I feel like he like legitimately did not deserve at one point. And
not compared to Roman, fuck no. I mean, he was having matches.
I don't. And then for him to win the IWGP Championship, so why doesn't Tony just buy New Japan at this point? I don't. They're not separate companies or entities anymore. Like, Okada, you still in New Japan to me. You know what I mean? Like I don't get like the differentiation of either of them. Like, I don't even get giving an AEW guy their like biggest title. Like, that shit's crazy to me. Like, that makes no sense money wise for me.
Even when it comes to like, I'm thinking of Forbidden Door, and I'm like, okay, so maybe Moxley defends against a New Japan guy. Like, maybe this is the angle they're kind of going towards. But in reality, it's like, the quote he says is that even if I win the IWGP world title, which he ends up winning, he's like, it's not going to matter. I'm going to be the most overlooked, disrespected, forgotten about, take it for granted wrestler in the history of the business. It's not going to matter, but it means something to me. And I'm just like, go ahead.
What are we overlooking? I don't understand. Like, what are we?
It's also he's fallen out of significance. Like, I feel like there's always a watershed moment you have as a wrestler that kind of takes you over the top from being just a good hand to someone that can kind of really like a cornerstone of the business. And I feel like he had that honestly in 2021, 2022, when the company was going through all their terrible shit, and he was the one who was pretty much bailing them out. He was the one having the good matches against Punk. He was the one who essentially became interim champion. He was the one who was kind of being named as like, okay, he is one of the guys in that company. But it's through his own volition of wanting to be a tag team wrestler sometimes on one day, wanting to be a deathmatch wrestler on another day, and then also wanting to be completely underrated as a technical wrestler on a third day, that people don't really know what to think of him. It's not really a best of all trades, master of none kind of situation. It's kind of like you're underselling yourself in a situation where you could probably maximize your own potential if you really went in on one thing. I feel like he's selling himself short.
I just don't know what you're missing about his character or his matches. I don't, like, is there some type of story that I'm missing with this? I watch them and
he's not in the ring with good storytellers, to be honest with you.
That people would say that he fucking is the storyteller, not Roman. You know what I mean? Like, I don't get that.
Why isn't Jon Moxley considered to being in the main event of All In this year?
Because
he's the biggest star in the company. 2 years ago, we had our conversation about what would be the biggest match in AEW currently. And it was a combination of Jon Moxley and another wrestler. So the mere fact that he's not being considered for a main event, we don't even know what matches he's having. He's probably going to be in a 6-man tag, to be real with you. It's just like, you stand in your own way. AEW does this to a lot of legacies, to be honest with you.
Is he unhappy? Do you feel like he's unhappy? I mean, he's got the whole world. He re-signed. He's like doesn't he have like some equity in the company in some way? Like he's like a coach or something also.
He helps develop talent in a way, but I don't know if I would trust John Moxley to do that.
So like there's no way he could be unhappy, right? Like he got what he wanted ultimately. But as we've seen with CM Punk, that's not always.
Hey man, you said it. I feel like legitimately like he wouldn't be this way in WWE. I think after a while, he's going to realize, like, I could blade all that I want, but does it really change? Like, I honestly ask myself, what has Jon Moxley contributed to the wrestling business? Like, really think about that.
Stan Henson, Henson's cosplay, I guess.
Like, I don't know what significant thing he's contributed to the wrestling business. With Punk, you saw a definite era change. Even with Brian, in a sense, you saw like, okay, we're heading more towards these workers and stuff like that. There's a lot of people, Roman Reigns, even Seth Rollins, in a sense, like these people have definite places within the history of the business because they've contributed something major. You don't get to say that you're pretty much disrespected, overlooked, and forgotten about if you don't really do anything to be like remembered.
Yeah, and I think the last year has just been like whatever runs. I mean, there was the Punk stuff, and then after that, it's very much like, well, what's going on? Even the faction that they're in. And I think that he's really the byproduct of the weirdness that happened after Brawl In. You know what I mean? Like, or Brawl Out, whatever, whichever one it is. The first one where Punk beat up the boys. But like he was a byproduct of that. Like, having the title, dropping the title, all of that stuff, like that is all like a part of that. And I think with Mox, it's about the development, and we see that happen in really good ways in other places, even in the company and even in other companies. But with him, it's like, how much can you bleed and cuss and flick people off and blade with pizza cutters and shit like that before it just gets passe and old? People just, it's not moving the needle no more. So I don't get his hissy fit about this, but.
And it also, it doesn't, his is a, unfortunately, his IWGP championship win, it doesn't really feel like as prominent as other major world title victories.
Mm-hmm. Well, New Japan itself doesn't feel important or prominent. So I think that's another part of why it doesn't feel special, right? Because it happened. Right, and then. And then we moved on, just like we're going to move on from this now.
Let's do this.
AEW Dynasty.
Good Lord.
8 matches announced so far. Would be really solid if they kept it to that. No?
Nah. You don't think it's weird. No. I think it would be incredibly solid if they would keep it to 8, but I don't think it's going to stay at 8. If this is their, like, we're doing a monthly pay-per-view kind of vibe, and if this is their attempt at it, they're... Good Lord. Ugh. I mean, the matches aren't... This card looks kind of good, but... The journey there is kind of tough.
I couldn't tell you. I guess the big match everyone's wanting to see, Will Ospreay versus Bryan Danielson. It's a match. It'll be good.
I don't even think they've been in. They're probably going to be in the same ring this on Dynamite this week. But I don't even think they've been in the same space for like. Thing. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm actually looking forward to Will Ospreay versus Claudio. As a fan of both, I can respect the match just living in the vacuum of it being a great match. But we literally just watch WrestleMania. So,
yeah,
the build to this feels very flaccid compared to WrestleMania.
And Ospreay and Brian have been in the same space in the past couple weeks. I know they when he did that first promo that they came out and challenged them and all that stuff. Like they've been seen, but it's not like anything.
But that's
like,
it. I think that's it.
Yeah, nothing like physical or anything. It'll be good. It'll be great. It'll probably get 7 stars. What do you want me to say? I don't think their characters are compelling.
No, they're not.
I think you care like you I think that there is a ability to be numb to getting the same like if I love I really love Caramel Sundaes with a brownie on the bottom. Would I want to eat that every single Wednesday at 8 p.m. and then eat like 3 of them every month? Like 3 hours worth of them every month? No. I need some nutrients. You know what I mean? I need vegetables sometimes too. I want something different. And when I look at this card, I see a bunch of like, they're going for it. They're going for like what the best they're listen, I'm going to say this right now. People are going to say this is the best pay-per-view they've ever done. Just looking at this card, they're going to say it's the best pay-per-view that they've ever done. And they might be right, but I don't care. Mania still.
I think to be honest with you, this card looks great with all the competitors in it. Everyone's a solid wrestler at this point. Like no one's fucking ass. And none of these matches will be, I mean, there's one match that could possibly be ass. Actually kind of two. But maybe even three. I don't know. Depend on how you feel about the main event. But it's I don't know. It's tough to get through these shits. That's why I really only tune in for the pay-per-views. I'm going to keep it above you. It's tough to get through these things, bro. Yeah. Like, the Young Bucks versus FTR thing, like, it's a tournament final ladder match now?
Yep. Yeah. It's hat like, on why? A hat. Hat on a hat. Well, look, because it's their third. Was it the third match? I think. Aren't they like 2-1 or is their fourth match? Right? It's their fourth
they just. Match. I don't even know. They make up some. They were like, oh, on this date back in 3 years ago, this Bucks got this, and then that All In they got this, and then this last time they got this. It's like, bro, none of this matters in the context of these things because the Bucks are completely different characters. FTR are kind of the fucking same, to be honest with you. But you want to get over. You don't. We're not trying to determine who's the grittier, more grittier team from this. The Young Bucks are supposed to be fucking assholes. They're not supposed to be. We're not supposed.
The ladder match just sets it up for a run in. It just sets it up for some bullshit run in. They might even just they might just steal the briefcase or the titles lifting before the FTR can get them or some shit like that. That's literally what my you know they might just steal some WWE shit, but. It'll be. I don't think this will be like great. I'm not gonna lie to you. I the Bucks are like. Have you noticed how slow they are now? Like they're considerably slower than they used to be.
I think they're just. It's just very uninspiring watching them at this point. And FTR. I mean, they're gonna have a good match, but I could give a shit about them.
Julia Hart versus. One thing I will say that like a lot of these matches are for titles, which just shows you. Of all the 8 matches so far, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of them are for titles.
Hey, got to use them, huh?
Julia Hart, Willow. I mean, just give it to Willow. We know she's gonna get it. It's gonna be
both of them need to be on NXT.
The two of these women ultimately will be, this is the who gets to lose to Mercedes match. So whoever wins that, they win the lottery. You get to lose to Mercedes next month. Good job.
In Vegas, yeah. Wins a free trip to Vegas.
I mean, I think it's pretty clear that it was Willow that attacked her, eh? Right? Are we
I'm assuming they're turning Chris Statlander.
Oh, you think they're turning Chris and not Willow?
Yeah, I think
Willow almost hit what's her face with the chair. Remember the first week?
Yeah, but they forgot about that since then. I think they're gonna drop it for sure.
Okay. After that, we have
the Bums versus House of Black.
Adam Copeland, Eddie Kingston, Mark Briscoe versus the House of Black. Poor Malachi.
Adam Cole is like, how homely. Adam Cole is gonna be like, how homeless can I get to match up with these guys? Like, how
is this what you envision Edge doing after this? After leaving WWE,
it's not what I envisioned, but I know he signed up for it. He's just happy he's doing something new, teaming up with different guys. I guess he was tired of teaming up with Rey Mysterio. I don't know what to say. He would get beat. If he was in WWE right now, he'd get beat up by Santos Escobar. So,
not a bad vibe. not a bad job. Not a bad job. I mean, you should be putting over guys. I guess putting over the House of Black. I don't care who wins this match. Whatever.
Why couldn't it have been Malachi Black versus Adam Copeland? Is just the main question I have. Adam Copeland's a champion. Malachi Black is the challenger.
Malachi is wasting years of his. And the thing is, knowing them, they'll make Brody King Adam Copeland and not Malachi Adam Copeland.
I'm sure. Here's the thing. You say Malachi Black is definitely wasting years, but if he's doing 6-man tag matches, he's probably reserving a lot more of his energy for when he returns to WWE. By the time WWE, his knees are going to be great. He's going to be able to kick harder, kick faster, because he's just been doing 6-man tags for the last 4 years.
Yeah, that's his cardio. Timeless. Listen, can we talk about Timeless Tony Storm? It's over.
Yeah, it's a wrap.
It's over. Drop the title. It was a good run. This is a joke champion. And listen, I'm all for girls kissing. This is very like exploitative girls kissing. Like, this is very much, we know what we're doing, girls kissing.
It's very 2002 Raw. I agree. Timeless Tony Storm, Thunder Rosa finally gets back into title hunt, and no one could give a flying shit. Oh, God. And Thunder Rosa is I think she beat Tony Storm, or Tony Storm beat her, or something along those lines. One of them bullshits. But we're finally getting the match we should get, but Timeless Tony Storm thing is just... Once again, it's just like, it's this weird vortex thing that's just sucking up. When you have this Tony Storm match, you kind of, this wrestling takes it back. I don't know. It's a lot of shit. I don't give a fuck about this match. Let's move on.
Okada versus Pac for the 25 Cent Store Championship.
That'll be good. I wonder, they should wrestle for a fucking visa, because one of them shits is about to expire and they're going to be thing back to their country. Did you hear that Rio, who was just on Dynamite last month, has returned to Japan and is not sure which he's coming back because her visa expired again?
How do they let her? How do they let the visas keep expiring? Is my question.
I don't fucking know.
It's kind of crazy.
You're paying for all these people.
Okada, is this where you? This is where you imagine him being coming in as a top star.
And the thing is, like, we're paying for all these people. You're telling them they could still live in their home country while paying for all these people, and then their visas gets expired. This might be the last time we see Pac. I'm sure something will expire. I don't know. Whatever at this point.
Okada laughing to the bank, for sure.
I guess. A continental title.
Not even that mean? It's just continental. Well, they, right after this, you got the international. Where are we going?
Roderick Strong versus Kyle O'Reilly.
Mm-hmm. These people have these people have literally no vision or no motivation or no inspiration in this company, but to do shit like this.
I'll say this. Let me talk about this on Raw. Main event of Raw was the Intercontinental Championship, and it was a great main event. Surely Roderick Strong and Kyle O'Reilly would be a great main event for Collision, Rampage, or even Dynamite. I'm not sure it warrants being on a pay-per-view. Just saying. Yeah, but I know he loves Kyle O'Reilly, though.
This should have been on Collision. Main event, Samoa Joe versus Swerve Strickland. I guess the question here is, do they pull the trigger? I'm personally not. And like, okay, you do it if you want to get like a small ratings boost because it's a new champion and he's like somewhat popular, even though the ratings don't really suggest that for the past couple weeks. But how could they really be growing if these two are just like doing nothing or like doing nothing of note every week and cutting bad promos? But like, do you pull the trigger or do you stick it with Samoa Joe just to have him become a bigger heel champion going into the summertime, which to me makes more sense. But I also feel like I feel like they're going to do another Paige Swerve match. I still feel like that's going to happen. And that's why I feel like he's not going to get the title here.
I'm considering whether they want to put the title on Swerve just so they have the Paige match at Double or Nothing in the main event. But I don't watch enough of this show or understand how Tony Khan books shows enough to be able to to be able to telegraph that. So I would just keep it on Samoa Joe until it's time for Will Ospreay to take it. Because it makes no sense cutting the knees off of Swerve or Paige or anyone in this matter if you're really just going to go with Will Ospreay.
Yeah, I mean, do you want to make Swerve transitional or do you want to make Joe transitional? That's your question there. So, yeah, cool, whatever. I don't really care about either guy. That's Dynasty. I don't know, man.
I don't know, man.
Greatest pay-per-view of all time, I guess.
It's going to be good. The in-ring stuff will be good. But I don't know, man. This company is a bad beat. What else? Is there anything I want to end on something nice. I don't want to end on. I don't know, man.
It's really good. That's where we have to end at. I mean, I have no clue where this company is gonna go with this pay per view. I mean, again, I'm calling it now. Best pay per view of all time. I'm calling it now. That's what they're gonna say.
Better than WrestleMania Night One is what they'll say.
Yeah. Better than Night One. You gonna argue Night Two?
They all argue Night Two. They're like, I don't know about that. But it's interesting to see. I mean, AEW is doing AEW things.
Does Tony do the crazy shit and say that and have Swerve win just to say that he also finished his story?
They did have Samoa Joe versus Dustin Rhodes last Wednesday on the show. So they're liable to do anything. I'm not even going to say anything. Swerve. Do they want the moment of like the good press of like first African American world champion in AEW? Do they need it? I think they probably need it, right?
It's a little hollow. I'm not going to lie. It's a little hollow. It ain't like it's like. Well, what does that first mean to them?
I don't know, bro.
What does it mean to you? Would you feel empowered?
Don't ask me, bro. I'm sure by February it'll make sense for them all over again. Yeah. So who knows? We'll see. It is what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's it. I think that's all the news. I'm looking at it. I think that's everything. AEW Dynasty is this weekend. Quan and Cyrus will be unfortunately having to talk and watch this. And if you're Cyrus, he's going to say he's not going to watch it. So we'll see. Make sure you check us out on Patreon. Check us out on Patreon. We're going to be reviewing Raw and SmackDown. A lot of stuff happened on both these shows this week, and we're going to be talking all about it. But yeah, we'll see you guys next week on the A Show. We're what, like a week away from Backlash? Holy shit. Yeah, we're a week away. It's next week. Holy shit. It's next fucking week. So yeah,
we'll wait. Is it May 4th or April 27th?
It's April 27th.
Deadass. You're fucking lying. Hold on.
It's April 20th. I'm looking at it right now. It's April 27th.
That's nuts.
Oh, wait. No, it's wow. The 4th. It's the 4th. It's the 4th. I'm watching.
Yeah. I thought it was the 4th. All right. We still got time.
Well, they got it. Well, there's only two matches. So, yeah they got to build it out. So, yeah, we'll see. Oh, yeah. Oh, it has to be after the draft, too. So, yeah, I get it. Yeah. So, well, actually, next week's the draft show. Let's do some draft shit. Let's do a mock draft.
I hate mock drafts. Everyone ends up on the same show except like four people.
Let's do a mock draft. Like, okay, let's narrow it to 10 people.
Okay, sure.
Let's do a mock draft, 10 people, three shows. So 30 people that we'll have to put on shows.
Okay. All right, cool.
And it'll be fine because we could
do NXT gets five people.
How about okay, that? Fine. NXT gets five people.
They're not getting 10 niggas at all.
Do you think they're gonna do it like Raw, like it's 30 p or it gets like 25 picks and then SmackDown gets 20?
Yes.
And you think that?
It's I'm almost sure that's how it's gonna go. Two picks for Raw, one for three SmackDown, picks. And yeah. Then NXT skips for every other round or something.
we'll do our draft predictions next week. So we will see you guys next week. Mock draft. Hold us to it. And yeah, for Mills, I'm Justin. Peace. All right, Patreon.
Woo!
We are going to talk about Raw and SmackDown. First off, SmackDown. We're going to talk about SmackDown. I guess the biggest thing that we have to talk about here, and I want to preface this with a quote because I actually like the story of this quote. Carl Anderson, and of course we're talking with Tama Tonga here. He did an interview on okay. Busted Open. He said he feels like Tama is the perfect fit for WWE. I think he's got the perfect look. I think he's exactly what WWE needs and wants, and I think it's great. And he says, to go back to what we were talking about with college kids coming straight to the WWE and not having any independent experience, I think it's great that Thomas had 15 or 16 years in New Japan Pro Wrestling to come to the WWE and show them that experience and that he's ready for prime time. I will say, I did not expect the reaction that he got on Friday. He got a very good reaction. And I was very just shocked at what that was. And Carl Anderson also goes on to say that he remembers calling. He texted Triple H and said, Tama Tonga's contract is coming up, and I think it's time for him to come to WWE. I think he's a full-blown, can't miss, if you ask me. And he wrote right back, right away. He said, it took a year to get it done, but he said he's a big believer in stuff happening for a reason, and he's here. And he said, you know, he didn't even know he was going to debut last Friday until that day. Until the day that they called them. So really fun stuff. Really fun stuff.
That's a great story. I didn't hear all the back context for that, but that's amazing. And the bloodline thing is interesting now because we're heading into
next chapter.
Yeah. But it's also a little bit of uncharted territory, right? Like this is the Solo Sikoa arc. And to me, this is going to be the true kind of really test for Solo Sikoa if he's really like a fully formed main eventer in the making. I think his presence and his ability in the ring, I mean, I think he's solid in the ring, so he can definitely have these matches. He's had these matches against John Cena. He's had big matches against pretty much everybody. He's lost against the big matches, but he's had big matches nonetheless. But I feel like positioning him seemingly as now the leader of the bloodline, I'm interested, but I'm not sure if I'm sold, if that makes sense.
It makes sense. It was week one.
Yeah. No, for sure. I mean, the interest, at least, they got me with the interest, which is what I feel like is a good part about it. I'm interested because I feel like, one, it's this new look. It's Soa Sokoa. It's Tama Tonga. I'm interested to see how Tama Tonga looks kind of on the WWE lights, WWE stage kind of deal.
Cut his hair. He said he would never cut his hair and he didn't.
Hey, man, listen. Sometimes you got to get a new look, bro. You can't show up like fucking Cesaro to every place that you fucking go, you know?
Yeah, raggedy. I think what I loved about this, and let's just get into the promo proper, right?
Okay.
Bloodline get to SmackDown. They notice that they don't have what would make them think they would get the same locker room after Roman lost the title?
Now niggas head to the locker room and it's Cody and the gang.
You better go, hey, plop your ass down next to Grayson Waller locker room, nigga. Don't get no special treatment, nigga.
Oh my god, they showed up like bums.
So they noticed that things have changed, so to speak. Roman, of course, not on the show. And from there, Paul Heyman cuts. Would I be right in saying Paul Heyman cut what I felt as though was kind of like a baby face, kind of like, hey, we're going to get back to a promo. But it was very baby face. And the crowd was actually kind of getting into it, too.
I agree.
He says, you know, Roman was ready last year. This year, he wasn't. He came with the same strategy, but he underestimated Cody this time and he lost, and that's just the name of the game. But like a phoenix rising from the ashes, and then Solo stops him and says, losing is wrong. Losing and winning matters. And I said, wow, is this Tony Khan speaking right now?
Did he see the infographics that people have been trying to prop up on Twitter? It's like a 0 and 39. Okay?
You know, he cuts the promo, which I thought he was strong here too. I thought he was actually really strong here. And he goes over and says, you know, basically people got to get dealt with if they lost. And he goes over to Jimmy, and Jimmy's like, I know you ain't talking to me, nigga. And then he says, you're my brother.
I'm a big brother.
Yeah, I'm big brother, nigga. He goes over and says, you're my brother. I love you. And out of nowhere, turns his back, and Tama Tonga comes out. Huge, huge pop for Tama Tonga. Huge moment, really, with Heyman saying like the tribal chief would not want this. And from there you have Solo and Tama throwing up the ones after he spikes Jimmy like five times. You have him come through. They put up the ones. He grabs Heyman's phone. Heyman throws up the one, and then he pulls out the phone and says, call Roman. And then he doesn't get to call him because Solo says, you know, no, we're not doing that. This is under orders from the tribal chief. So again, the Bloodline story has questions again. It has questions. It has mystery. It has mystique. It has intrigue again. And I think that was the one thing I got from this.
And more, also importantly, it has the question of, well, what does Roman think about this? You know how in Dragon Ball Z, it's always like, well, when's Goku going to show up?
Right.
That's how I feel like this story is kind of going. And I think, like I said, I'm interested because there's new characters in the fold. Jimmy seems to be excommunicated. Where does that leave him, like, post-draft kind of world? We saw on Monday Night Raw. Go ahead.
Also, Heyman is seemingly he's hostage to Solo.
He is hostage to Solo.
Roman's got to get his wise man back. And
I gotta find him or something. I don't know.
So it sets up to me ultimately what role does Roman have, if any, in this? What role does The Rock have in this? And you have weeks to establish this new bloodline without actually explicitly saying who the higher power is, so to speak. And you can keep saying that that Solo is now getting these calls, but he won't say who it is. And then, I mean, there's so many ways you can go with Roman. He lost the title. He can't be tribal chief anymore. And I think that's where the disrespect comes from, is that he can't be tribal chief. And how does Roman recover from this? I think that you get a stronger babyface Roman if you stretch out the heel turn or the face turn more and not have him go fully face immediately. But Lord knows when we'll see him again.
Summer, probably.
Yeah, it's people have said, you know what I would do? I will pull what Heyman did with CM Punk a long time ago and say, except for like remember when we did that with Punk? Punk was like, I was not ready to come back. You shouldn't have called me. Like, remember that led to that.
Yeah.
He should say Roman Reigns is gonna be back at SummerSlam, and he's gonna address the Bloodline or some shit like that, and then have that be a whole thing. I think that would be really cool.
I think so as well. I'm still interested. I'm super interested in this. Interested if there'll be more members. God knows there's more Samoans. They just hired another one.
My question is though, Meals, how do you keep Cody away from these guys? Because for right now, they need to be far apart. That's over. Like we've done it. They need to keep them far, far apart. But they seemingly are still putting him in that. Like the Bloodline is like his jokers, like his Joker or his, you know what I mean? Like his Red Ribbon Army. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like that's his burden to bear forever. But how do they keep that fresh? And how do they keep them away from each other until Roman and or Rock are ready to return?
That's a good question. I feel like AJ will. Well, I'm picking who I'm running based off this. But I feel like, yeah.
I called it a month ago.
I feel like AJ will definitely keep this kind of train kind of rolling. I think they can. It just depends on who are the new Bloodline's kind of like future targets. Because I'm not assuming immediately. I mean, it could be Jimmy and Jay. I was just saying, because Jay's promo on Monday, he seemed concerned. He didn't seem like he totally had disdain for his brother, nor should he have, nor has he ever acted that way. But he was just like, man, I told Jimmy, you know, keep away from that Bloodline stuff.
He said, I told him to come with me.
And I would just hate for this to run around very, very, just...
I think right now it's the Uso return. I think it's pretty clear to me that Jay ain't winning no singles title away from his brother. I also think
Jimmy, this is the opportunity for Jimmy to get the character development that he has. It's been overdue, even to an extent.
So you think that he would go off and do his own thing, and then he needs his brother's help?
Yeah, I think he feuds with the Bloodline.
Okay.
And I think it's, I don't know if it's main event Jimmy Uso, but I feel like this is the opportunity for him to really stand in his own light that he sorely missed. When the Uso split, he really went back to Bloodline.
Yeah.
He didn't even get an opportunity to kind of like show himself, and he's been kind of like low-key a comedy act, but I feel like this is his opportunity to shine. This is his opportunity to show up and super kick and get the big pops and all the other stuff like that, and really establish him, his own identity as a thing before they bring him back together. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, you got to do, you got to have Beyonce solo album. He got to have his dilemma. You know what I'm saying? he got to have his number one hit too before they do Destiny's Fulfilled or Uso's Fulfilled or whatever the fuck it is. But this was by far the most interesting part of the show, and the ratings showed it. So,
yeah, them niggas is tired. That is like these niggas is tired. Cody cuts a promo. He's still doing his thing. I'm sorry. I'm not in the boat of people who are whining about him not going immediately into a program
start cussing niggas out for no reason.
Yeah, or like immediately doing matches and putting in like that's unnecessary. He doesn't need to do that. He's in rarefied air, bro. He ended one of the longest streaks of all time. We're good. But it was a fun promo. I liked it a lot. You had the thing about SmackDown is that even if it wasn't interesting, like storyline wise, I thought that they did get stuff rolling with the world title contender matches. Like the last one with KO, Ray and AJ was really good.
Yeah, man, that was a great main event
for SmackDown standards. Like usually SmackDown's not like the wrestling show. I thought that was like one of the strongest matches they've had on that show in a really long time. Of course, AJ and LA Knight coming out on top of their respective matches. I thought the Santos LA Bobby one was a bit weaker than the main event one, but I mean, look at who the fuck was in it. It was Santos working, and then it was LA, and I'm just like, this. He got a he got a he got a He got quite the work cut out for him here.
And then one is just KO fucking AJ Styles and Rey Mysterio. Like, who are you fucking getting here?
They could have balanced that one a lot better, but it ended up, you know, right, the right people won, at least to me, and you get your WrestleMania rematch, which again is it's a sensical rematch, not one that's just thrown together, which I do enjoy. Jane and Bianca seem to be going after the tag team titles, so the damage control angle seems to be continuing as well. And you had the furtherment of the Bayley stuff as well, all intertwining with Naomi and whatnot.
I got a text from my homegirl. I don't know. I'll be telling people, I'm like, yo, Naomi's going to be fine. Like,
what's the issue?
The issue is, I assume they just like, she's having this match to lose. So what is she really doing? And I'm like, bro, she's having the match is what she's doing. Give it a rest.
Here's the thing. She's having the match.
That, and she like, just beat Tiffany.
She's having the match that Loki, she should have just did before she left that one time.
Yeah.
Just like, right? Like, am I wilding? Like, she's just having the match that she should have had before she left with Sasha that one time. Like, just have the match.
I'm interested to see what's going to come out of this. But I think Bayley versus Naomi is just, it's a good enough match itself. Naomi has really leveled up with her Impact run, and it's clearly they're like, continuing that kind of trend this moving forward. This, she beat the undefeated Tiffany Strand. So
all the people that were thinking that she was going to be a Mania because she was undefeated, there you go.
It just is what it is. There's a lot of cool things going on SmackDown. I'm interested to see the draft is so interesting. It's the first I feel like true Levesque era draft. So I low-key feel like they're actually going to switch up a lot of things.
Oh, yeah. And I feel like people are getting broken up more than that. I feel like people are getting broken up. I think that any preconceived notion that we have about stuff that's about to happen is just, we just shouldn't have them because I think it's going to be pretty crazy.
I'm not committing to any of this, no.
Yeah, I know we said mock draft, but like I literally have no clue what's going to happen with this draft. Do you break up the bloodline? Do you break up all these people? Do you put Jimmy on Raw? You know what I mean? Like there's a lot of things that could happen here because there's a reason why they put him out the bloodline, and that's to make him his own person, his own entity at this point. So realistically,
I'm not committed to any of these. To be honest with you, I'm not committed to Bianca Belair and Jade as a tag team. As cool as it sounds, I think they should be on different shows.
Yes, for the time being, absolutely.
I don't think they should be on the same show, rocking and really roughing up people on the same fucking show.
They're OD strong.
Like, nigga, what? Like, who's taking that pinfall? You know what I'm saying? Like, who? I guess Jade would have to be honest with you. But it's like, you really want Jade taking the pinfall?
Are you seeing the people who are upset at Jade coming in, getting the hot tag and winning matches?
Yeah, I saw that. I think people are fucking confused by AEW booking, that someone needs to show up and starts kicking the shit out of people and getting the shit kicked out of them back.
Yeah, it's not what you're watching her for, guys. You're not watching her for, you know, competitive matches, but that's probably why she didn't work out.
She'll get there soon. I mean, I think, to be honest with you, the only reason why I would keep Bianca Belair and Jade together, but they don't really need to be together, to be honest with you, is if you have Jade working on house shows, then you get her in the ring and get her acclimated to a lot of this stuff during these long tag team matches. Let her have these 15-minute tag team matches on the house shows. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Let her learn how to feed. Let her learn the hot tag. Let her. She was rarely in tag matches in fucking AEW.
Right.
Yeah, she worked three times this week.
The most I've ever seen her wrestle ever. And again, I'm pretty sure.
I didn't even know she had three outfits in the same damn week.
I have no problem with what she's doing right now, bro. I got no issues with it. I think that it's completely fine. Again, she's getting the reps that she needs. And we don't know what the hell they got planned coming for her. and that's the right. good thing. Right. That's not a bad thing. It's a good thing because I still got that Nia match pinned for one of these shows in the summertime. That's going to be a heater.
Yes. I agree.
That's going to be a heater. This Nia, that's going to be a heater. Raw. Monday Night Raw.
No, I was going to say, like, this show was very, like, in limbo for me.
Until the third hour.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say so. But go on.
I thought that...
Can we talk about Sheamus's draws? Hold on.
Here's the thing. I'm not going to body shame Sheamus, but I'm also
I'm not going to either.
I'm also not going to say that I want to see Sheamus on the main roster anymore. I'm not going to lie to you.
Like, what? Are those, like, the same, like, you know, the PSD, you know, Ethica?
Get online today and say this is the first branded merchandise. I said, man, take that shit back.
I was like, nigga, what? I was like, please.
That shit.
He was just happy to get a look.
I kind of like Husky Sheamus. When I watched the match with Ivar back, I was like, I kind of like.
He's if he had a neck injury, a serious one, he's not working out. So I don't even. If he got to the point where he can be in the ring, sure. If he's in those trunks because, you know, it's a little thicker in places he's not usually thicker in, I'm not against it.
Hey, man, hit that. I don't, whatever. Hit that PC, my boy.
Yeah, but Sheamus.
Tony D needs a feud, bro. Hit that PC, my boy.
Would Sheamus ever go to NXT?
He should.
Get what drafted to NXT.
What is there left for him to do? What is there for him to do?
I'm sure he thinks there's a lot for him to do.
Like,
I've never faced Cody, fella.
I guess when the Intercontinental title, whoop-de-doo. Like, that'll be a match that I'm in and out of because he's involved in it. Like,
I've never faced Andrade, fella.
Sheamus has been, like, in some type of top position since I was, like, in college. Like,
yeah, same.
Like, I am ready for him to, like, work with some of the younger talent. Start putting the, like, it did wonders for Baron Corbin. Like, if Baron Corbin comes back, I think that he would get a hero's welcome. Real shit. Like, I just don't see, like, what the, like.
He going to be, he's going to be with a Bronson Reed Ivar mid-card vibe. That's where he's at.
He better be losing to him. I don't want to see this. I don't want to see him beating Ivar, bro.
Beat Ivar. Ivar on NXT now, man. You saw Ivar.
If he's on NXT, that's hard because I think they need more big, blocky dudes.
Hey, man, you against Obafemi though. He gonna teach Obafemi how to have a cartwheeling and shit.
Teach Obafemi how to goddamn have some charisma in that ring, bitch. I'm still not an Oba nigga. I'm trying though.
He's working hard. He's working hard. Speaking of working hard, DIY. Mm-hmm. New number one contenders to the World Tag Team Championships.
Yeah.
Good match. I had this hot take. I expressed it on the timeline. I got a mixed reaction from it.
Oh, boy. I didn't see it. So what is it?
I think it's a wrap for New Day.
Oh, that I did see that. Yeah. I'm all for that.
Big E, first of all, he's like fucking unveiling girlfriends and saying he's not coming back. I think, I'm not saying that the entire premise of it was Big E, but I'm saying he was a big part of it, and him not coming back is just kind of weird. And then also, I don't think these two are accomplishing anything together. Like, not a single thing.
No, I think ultimately on his own, Xavier does more. And I think that Kofi should be. Well, he just signed a new deal, I think, right? Like maybe 2 years ago. So like,
I'm assuming so. Yeah. Well, one thing about Xavier, I know Xavier is like, if we break this shit up, I'm on WWE speed faster than your head could spin. I'm on speed for sure with JD McDonagh and Ricochet and all the other niggas that's on speed.
To that point, like we said, like to like this is kind of like to a more extreme degree than Moxley because they were on top for so long, where there's just nothing left for you to do where you're at unless they gone to NXT and it's like they'd pay these two way too much to be on NXT all the time. You know what I mean? Like they right. be able to stay there.
Unless they drive them to SmackDown and have them feuded pretty deadly or something. Like rehash that NXT. But I'm sure they're going to rehash the feud. I'm almost sure.
They'd have to be heels.
Nah, I'm pretty sure they're going to just re-rock the entire feud.
I wouldn't like that. A big budget version of that feud is not something that I'm interested in. But I can see
that. Yeah, but I'm good on New Day. I feel like New Day, Kofi Kingston could have this feigned, you know, world title thing. Xavier could do some other stuff on another show. I think even if it's just for a year, you say, okay, we're breaking them up. We'll bring them back together after a year or see where they're at after a year. And if it doesn't work, we just bring them back together. If Big E comes back, it's even better.
What would you think of Big E as a manager? Do you think that would give people more?
He would work.
Hope that he would come back. Like
yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. He would work, but also, I'm going to keep it a buck. I don't feel like he wants to come back.
Yeah.
As much as he's like, you know, I'm not clear to come back. I don't want to risk my health or anything like that. And I'm not bringing his judgment into question. Obviously, do what's best for you in your career. But ultimately, at the end of the day, he's not giving me, I'm trying my best to come back.
Yeah.
He's giving me, I like where I'm at right now, and I'll host a pre-show anytime you call me.
And I think that's fine.
Yeah.
I think that's ultimately very fine. I will miss his presence in the ring. I was a bigger fan of his title run than I was Kofi's. I'll say that much. I think that...
Got Wale to make that damn song for him, and now he can't even use it.
He could still, I mean... I just don't think that like stuff like commentary is just in the cards for him. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just don't think that's something that like it just interests him at all.
I honestly don't think the wrestling business interests him as much anymore. I'm going to just keep it a buck. I don't feel like he's long for the wrestling business. I feel like when his contract expires, I think he's done.
Right.
But how did you feel about the new World Tag Team titles and how they looked?
They look fine. I was watching before I took off. To come home yesterday, so I got up to that part before I took off, but they're fine. I mean, you know, the branding has to be the branding, and that's what the Raw titles look like. It makes sense for all of them to have homogeny in some way, shape, or form.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it makes the most sense for the titles to look like the big title that they're supplementing. It's long overdue. They're way better than the penny titles. I don't care what anybody says. They're way better than the penny titles.
I agree.
They're actually gold. They remind me of like a remixed version of the old Raw tag team titles that had the hint of red in them. The one before they switched them over again. They're fine. I like them.
I like them.
Do you think we're getting new ones on SmackDown? Do you think they're getting rid of the penny ones on SmackDown? And they're gonna be big W's.
Just replace them with two women's championships. Yes.
Well, they'll be black W's, huh? They'll probably be black W's, huh? Like black.
Yeah, I guess. Oh, yeah.
Black strap W's.
Yeah. I guess they would. I'm really trying to picture it, and I'm like, how can they make them not look like just two WWE championships? And it would probably have to do something with the what do you call it? The silhouette of the actual title itself, because that's what I was most thing for. I was like, okay, how does the silhouette look? Because those old tag team titles from like late 90s, early 2000s, you knew what they were by the silhouette of how it looked. These a little bit different.
Yeah. I dig them. I think that again, these look more like actual honest to God, like championship titles. And they can have side plates now. So I think that's another advantage, for these. Truth was incredible during this segment.
He really was trying to break Triple H, and Triple H was like, "All right, I'm done with this. This is stupid."
Why'd you make the boss leave?
I'm pretty sure he wasn't supposed to leave, but he was like, all right, well.
Because he probably had to go to the back and laugh. what else happens on Raw?
Indy Hartwell, she turned heel. I called it.
Oh no, she turned heel. She helped. She
kicked the shit out of her though.
Is the way coming back? Is my question.
I don't know. These that would be they would have to turn Johnny heel again.
If they don't win the titles, they're turning heel. I don't know if I would like the way with Ciampa in it though.
I'm not sure.
The way with Ciampa in it just seems strange to me. I don't think that's his vibe. His vibe isn't to be silly. You know what I mean? Like, his vibe is to be like the serious Black Heart. I'm the Black Heart. That's him.
Black Heart.
God bless.
What else happened on the show? We had a bunch with Jay and his
Could Cody have less things to do?
he that was a guest spot, and I think that it was also a guest spot that was heavily, how do you say like it was heavily kind of saying this is probably gonna be his last time on Raw.
My guy was like, yo Jay, you know you've been having trouble with Judgment Day. You need me in my corner? Nah.
Yeah. He said, nah, nigga, go to SmackDown, please.
And Cody was like, say no more.
I think it's cool. He's your biggest baby face. He's the biggest star on that show, for sure. He's the biggest star on the show that he's supposed to be on. I'm not mad at the victory lap tour. I think that when you have a new champion, it's like the end of Star Wars, bro. Like, you gotta call it out. You know what I mean? Like, he won the big one. And I think that where I am more excited is that it really does. Like, last week I was like, I think they might move him back to Raw, but now I'm kind of more sure that they're probably gonna keep him on SmackDown just because of what everything is going on with Judgment Day on this show as well.
I have no idea what the fuck they're doing on any of those things. I can't call it. I can't. This is the first H. Once the first H draft gets out the way, I'll kind of have an idea of how he does this thing. But since then,
I don't think he should be breaking up the boys for sure. I don't think that would.
Judgment Day seems closer to the end than the beginning.
Oh yeah, of course, yeah. But not in the next week, no. I think that's happening down the line.
Because why was Damian Priest mad they were jumping fucking Jey Uso?
Out of nowhere, even after he told them that we need to reestablish who we are type shit, I'm like, oh, why are you mad now?
Yeah. You're being mad weird, bro.
They doing what you told them to do.
I was like, bro, you being mad weird. I don't know what to tell you, bro. Like, you mad.
They be all about the jump game. Then when niggas get jumped, they be mad.
Like, right. You ain't like when other Hispanic niggas showed up in the room. You ain't like when, you know, you lost the tag team championships. You ain't like that. I was like, what do you like, bro? Come on.
I will say this though, Mills. I think that Andrade needs to get him a little bit of a character or a manager. I think that the same issues that he was having.
Yeah, no, for sure.
He's having again. And I think he needs to get a manager post haste, because
why Ricochet try to help him? The nigga was like, get off me, nigga.
What's that? How confused was that?
I was like, bro, what? Your face. This ain't AEW, bro. How confused?
I'm like, bro, I just feel like Andrade, is it you or does it feel like he always ready to fight somebody, bro? Like, for real. Like, I'm like, you are ready to fight niggas, bro.
Ricochet tried to help him off the ground and he was like, get the fuck away from me.
What about that nigga? I was like, bruh, come on, man.
Good Lord. But it forms Ricochet and Andrade versus Judgment Day next week. So that is something that happens. Liv Morgan.
Mm-hmm.
Where do we think she's going to go? Dark side, tweener side, Liv side?
Well, with she goes to dark side, I don't think she's strong enough to be a top heel on to the level of like a Rhea Ripley.
I think they would have two heels that would be cheered.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because people love Liv. I don't know why.
I don't know, bro.
Do you feel like it's just pettiness? Do you feel like, is there something bigger going on? She says the revenge tour isn't over.
Not over. I would put, I think somebody else in the crosshair is probably Becky, right? I think Becky Live program is actually pretty strong, Mills. I'm not going to lie to you.
I think no, as a heel, yeah. As Liv as being a heel, I think so as well. But then, but Becky does that thing where you'll fucking eviscerate you on the mic.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah.
So she better have some ammo with her. But I like, you know, whatever tour lives on, I'm on it. So it doesn't matter to me.
I like it. I can't wait to see how they determine who the new champion's going to be. I get that they didn't have that. They didn't have that idea handy last night. Makes sense why they didn't. But I can't wait to see what they do with it in the next couple of weeks. Then we get to like that really banger third hour of the show, where you were kind of booking it with the Cody promo into Jay versus Finn, which was solid, into Jay winning the match, and in one continuous sequence, Jay gets away from the Judgment Day, goes up the stairs, walks through the crowd, walks
much as some white kid who's trying to fucking take a selfie. I was like, get the fuck out the way, kid.
Well deserved push, by the way. But walks through the crowd, and then he sees Sammy, and he's like, Sammy, what are you doing? And he says, you know, this was the first, this is the place where I had like, my first match ever in my career. And you know, this is holds so much importance for me, so I'm gonna walk in here the same way I walked through it and through the front door. What was it, like a 10-minute entrance with him walking through everything, walking down. Bro, the
they had like, I don't know if it was a copter, the sky view, Channel 9 news and shit. They had him walking through a sea of humanity. I was like, they would never, you know how hard this would be due at Collision.
Oh my god.
You know how hard this would be at Collision, bro? Walk at the end of the thing and just niggas not there anymore.
That has to be one of the greatest entrances of all time.
Of course. It's amazing. It's really up there. Like, it's him with his people. Like I said, there's a lot of times, I said this on the timeline, a lot of the times a big star, they put like a location on the map, right?
Right.
Especially like a local star, and like Sami Zayn's one of them. Like what Bret Hart did for Canada, what who's another big? Okay, Cody does for Atlanta. A couple of other people on the thing. They put like Texas and Stone Cold Steve Austin and stuff like that. Like, you know, you go in there, JR in Oklahoma getting his ass whooped. Flair in North Carolina, and Sami Zayn has done it for Montreal. Like they deserve. They're at least getting a Raw or a pay-per-view at least every year now.
Mm-hmm. And that's because of him.
Yeah. And
back to Toronto in July, like Canada's getting a lot from them, and they're supporting Canada a lot. And I looked at this as like, okay, I'm going to be real. Like, I was like, is Sammy the new HBK?
He's something. And to me, a clear indication of why this nigga was at WrestleMania, not Chad Gable. Because where's Chad Gable even from? Like Wisconsin?
Where is he from is crazy.
Where's Chad Gable from? Someone's gonna like, it's gonna be like Minnesota. Damn, sorry. Sorry, Johnny Barnes. Like, but he's not putting Minnesota on the map, nigga. Like, it's not.
As far as the match itself went, A large sense of like desperation and drama that I did not expect for Sammy's like literal first defense of this title, where mm-hmm. it was like he could have legitimately lost it. It definitely gave vibes of like, yo, Sami Zayn is not only like, and that's the thing that's crazy to me, Meals. WWE has several baby faces that mm-hmm. you could realistically put that title on and they would sell a house, which, and under Vince's stewardship, I could not say the same for. I really couldn't.
I couldn't even tell you who was the Intercontinental Champion when it was Vince.
Exactly. And I think that you have a really strong, I think if Cody's number one, you'd have to say that Sammy's like a two or a three in terms of baby faces. And that's a testament. It's truly a testament to how strong they have built him up and made him such a big deal like this. He goes out in a sword, wins the match. And he it looks like his dad. It looks like his dad. He hugged his dad, hugged his wife, and then out of nowhere.
That was green as fuck, bro.
Chad Gable.
Don't ever suplex me out of my wife's hands. I would have grabbed my ass would have grabbed on the Khadijah. We would have been flying together, bro.
Khadijah would have flew in the room.
Like, hey, baby.
Oh, man. Really good, strong ending. He puts him in an ankle lock on the it was very Brett-esque. It puts him on an ankle lock as he hangs off of the ring there from the top of the turnbuckle. And that ends the show, which I thought was a really strong first hour, really strong third hour, really kind of like, I'm kind of tired, second hour. But again, I'm not mad at these Raws, man. They're moving. They're schmoving for me.
Yeah, no, they're amazing. You're ending with something still, right? Like, it's not like ending with your sitting on your hands or anything, rather. Like, even this, a major program is still happening with one of your top baby faces. SmackDown ends with AJ Styles and LA Knight face to face. You know what I'm saying? Like, again, when you build a roster, when you have all these things, you're able to make these, you're able to have these moments with other people involved. And you're maybe able to make TV feel a lot more interesting than it is.
But yeah, again, really strong week for WWE TV. We're 2 weeks out. I was wrong earlier on the public show. We're 2 weeks out from Backlash. What do you see getting added to the show?
Obviously, a rematch here, especially with French speaking Sami Zayn. Ooh, Lord. I'm trying to think. I'm assuming one of the women's championship. I'm not assuming the women's world. I feel like it's too soon for the women's world championship match. But I can see something with Bayley and Tiffany.
Mm-hmm.
I can see that. What else do I see?
EO's still out somewhere, so I think that the rematch for that. I'm thinking the rematch.
Send her home. I would send her ass home.
Give her a break, give her a vacation. I feel like a lot of people got vacations. Like I did, one thing I did like about the thing is that they finally acknowledged Seth Rollins this week. I was like, how y'all forget about that nigga that quick?
Business keeps moving, baby. I think Gunther's at home. I think everybody's at home, bro. Like,
yeah, long weeks.
If you had international stuff, stay home. Oh, well, there you go.
I got you. That was Seth Rollins' ambulance. That took him away, but you know, I think that like really there's a lot of exciting stuff going on, and I think that like even if you don't get the EO match, there's so many choices that Bayley could have for her first defense, and that you could have that EO match. And what's the June pay-per-view? Is that the one? That's Clash at the Castle in Scotland. That's the June one.
Yes, I believe so. Yes.
Yeah, so like they could do something at Clash at the Castle. They could do something and get like, bro, they're not coming home for a minute, you know. Like they really going on summer vacation.
You saw them. They got the Get Money stage now. It's full time now. You know.
Yeah, because they fucking Montreal not selling out. What kind of niggas is these, man?
You know why? Maybe we gone there too much. maybe they got too much WWE. I think it's super interesting out during this time where everything costs so much. I mean, Live Nation is about to get sued for exploiting and monopolizing the thing, especially with ticket prices and stuff. Like, I like to enjoy concerts, but I don't really want to pay like that much money. The thing that people are spending their money on WWE.
Yep, faithfully too.
Yeah.
And the thing is, we are finally being rewarded for the time that we put into this stuff. And I think that's the best part about it, is that we're being rewarded for it, and it's coming out in the shows, it's coming out in the effort from the actual performers, and we're seeing the fruits of the labor. So Cody's era, I think week two, I give it a thumbs up. You know what I mean? I think that as we go to the first PLE, we'll see what happens on SmackDown this week, we'll see what happens on Raw next week with the draft, and we'll be all, you know, we'll be back to talk about all of it next week on the show. So thank you guys for listening to the A Show Patreon edition. For next week, We're going to be talking more about these shows, and we're going to be predicting the draft. And yeah, for Meals, I am Justin. We'll see you guys next week on the show. Peace.